Our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Exodus. I think Bo did that on purpose. He's preaching this week, and we just finished Exodus, and he gave me the Exodus passage. This is Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. I'll be reading from the NIV. It's the Pew Bible that you have, but as well, it's likely on the screens. Listen to the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of their door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and the bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now our second scripture reading from the Psalms, Psalm 26. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud the praises, your praises, and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away from my soul, along with sinners, or my life with the bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Beloved, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we now come to hear your word proclaimed, as we have heard your scriptures read, silence within us our hearts. Help us, Lord, to focus only on your words. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. And you all thought we were done with Exodus. A very appropriate reading for our message this morning, as is our gospel reading coming from Matthew's gospel, the 26th chapter, the 26th through the 30th verses, verses that are so familiar to us. Hear now these the words of Holy Scripture. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, my friends, special occasions are often connected with food. And you know, as Presbyterians, we love to eat. But special occasions, like All Saints' Day next month, like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, anniversaries or birthdays. And I long for those days, because whenever we have that special occasion in our house, no matter where I am in the house, I can smell the food. The turkey or the ham baking, Sherry's homemade dinner rolls in the oven, the pumpkin pie. And in full disclosure, I go through all the rest of that just to get to the pie. And like Pavlov's dog, it starts the juices to flowing, and our stomachs are growling, and we can't wait for dinner to be ready, and we long to hear those words, "It's time to eat. Come to the table." My brothers and sisters, Jesus has set a table for us. And on this World Communion Sunday, is inviting us. "Come to my table," Jesus says. But before we do, we must prepare ourselves. Now, we read in Psalm 26, that Pastor Timothy read just a moment ago, where David asked for vindication, for he says, "I have led a blameless life. I've trusted in the Lord without wavering." Now, we all know that David is not sinless, and we know from elsewhere in the Bible, including even some of the Psalms, that David couldn't and didn't make that claim. I think what David's saying to us here this morning is that he has genuinely sought to serve the Lord. David goes on in verse 6 to say, "I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord." Before we sit down at a meal, we need clean hands. We don't go out and work in our garden or change the oil in our car and come in and sit down at the kitchen table and just dig in, do we? No, we need to prepare first. We need to wash up. And that's why the Bible tells us to examine ourselves before we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, by a show of hands, and you don't have to be shy, did anyone ever have to go to bed without supper because you did something bad? See, I was lucky because my mom was a nurse. And she would never make us do that. You know, when we come to Jesus, when we've made a mistake, when we seek forgiveness, we find restoration, we find invitation to the table. Now, some people figure they're too unworthy to participate, and they just pass the plates on by. Beloved, I would submit to you, none of us are worthy. But if we trust in Jesus, we are eligible. He invites and authorizes us to come to the table. But sometimes we need to be reminded of that. A few weeks ago, we dedicated quilts to Miss Margie and Miss Ellen. And I will share with you that I have now delivered both of those quilts, and they were just ecstatic to receive them. And I told you when we dedicated the quilts that nothing was wrong, that we were just giving them these quilts because we loved them. I told you that day that you would hear about that word nothing again real soon. So this morning I want to share with you a story that uses a couple of words or phrases that as children we probably all used, and as parents we've probably all heard many times. Nothing, and I don't know. Let me tell you a story. It was 1990. Our daughter Heather was 13 years old, and we were living at Edwards Air Force Base at the time, and it was a beautiful Saturday afternoon in the high desert. Sherry and I sitting in the living room, relaxing, watching TV, whatever. And then we smelled something. Something awful. Something burning. And you know what happens when you have that happen? What do? You start sniffing, right? You're trying to locate what it is and where it's coming from. So Sherry and I, we get up and we're sniffing through the house. And we make our way to our daughter Heather's bedroom door. Well, I knock, and she opens the door just a crack, and I said, "What you doing?" "Nothing." And then I look beyond her at her desk in her bedroom, and I saw it, the curling iron. And I looked back at her head, and I just reached up and grabbed her hair, and it just crumbled in my fingers. I said, "What did you do?" She goes, "I was curling my hair." No, by this time, Sherry is there, and she says, "For how long?" 30 seconds. Sherry says, "Didn't I tell you 5 seconds? But Lisa," her best friend, "said 30 seconds was better." I messed up. I said, "Well, yeah, you did, but it'll be okay. It'll grow back." And then Sherry said, "But not before school pictures on Monday." I don't know. Nothing. And I don't know. That's how some of us think about the Lord's Supper. Like the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, for some, it's lost its pizzazz. We go through the motions. We know it by heart. But what does it really mean to us personally? What are we saying? And maybe we just forgot over time, or maybe it's just too routine. Those who receive the bread and the cup every day or every week or 3 or 4 times a week, or possibly even those of us that receive it once a month, may begin to take it for granted. Maybe we don't really think about the implications of this act or the impact that it has on our lives as believers in Christ. Maybe we need a little refresher. Maybe we need to be reminded. So what exactly, as Presbyterians, do we believe about the Lord's Supper? Well, I want to share with you today what the book says. And this is our book of order, and it's part of our Constitution. And I want to share with you the excerpts from our Constitution concerning the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, or Eucharist, is a sign and seal of our communion with the crucified and risen Lord. Jesus shared meals with his followers throughout his earthly ministry, common suppers, miraculous feasts, covenant commemorations. Jesus spoke of himself as the bread of life, the true vine in whom we are the branches. On the night of his death, Jesus shared bread and wine with the disciples. He spoke of the bread and wine as his body and blood, signs of the new covenant, and he told the disciples to remember him by keeping this feast. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus made himself known to the disciples in the breaking of the bread. The disciples continued to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, prayers, and the common meal. And as Paul wrote, when we share the bread and the cup in Jesus' name, we who are many are one body. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper offers an abundant feast of theological meaning, including thanksgiving to God the Father, remembrance of Jesus Christ, invocation of the Holy Spirit, communion of the body of Christ, and a meal in the realm of God. The Reformed tradition understands the Lord's Supper to be a sign of God's covenant. The bread of the Lord's Supper is linked with the bread of Passover and the gift of manna in the wilderness. The Lord's Supper thus connects us with God's saving power and his providential care from generation to generation to generation. Like the offering of sacrifices, the sign of Israel's thanksgiving for God's faithfulness, the Lord's Supper is a sacrifice of praise and a sign of our gratitude for God's steadfast love. The Lord's Supper represents God's gracious invitation to an everlasting covenant. The Lord's Supper also reflects our calling to feed others as we have been fed. It offers a foretaste of that heavenly banquet when God will wipe away every tear and swallow up death forever. The Lord's Supper enacts and seals what the Word proclaims: God's sustaining grace offered to all people. The Lord's Supper is at once God's gift of grace, God's means of grace, and God's call to respond to that grace. Through the Lord's Supper, Jesus nourishes us in righteousness, faithfulness, and discipleship. Through the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit renews the church in its identity and sends the church to mission in the world. When we gather at the Lord's Supper, the Spirit draws us into Christ's presence and unites us with the church in every time and place. We join with all the faithful in heaven and on earth in offering thanksgiving to the triune God. We reaffirm the promises of our baptism and recommit ourselves to love and serve God, one another, and our neighbors in the world. The opportunity to eat and drink with Christ is not a right bestowed on the worthy, but a privilege given to the undeserving who come in faith, repentance, and love. All who come to the table are offered the bread and cup, regardless of their age or understanding. That's what our Constitution says about this simple meal of bread and juice. And today, on World Communion Sunday, maybe the only time all year that we as Christians gather to celebrate and remember on the same Sunday what the Lord did for us. This is a special Sunday, my friends. The word communion comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means to have fellowship or partnership with. And as Presbyterians, how do we look at communion? Well, we take the symbolic view. This view states that the bread and the wine presented in communion is symbolic of the blood and the body of Christ. The elements are to remind us of the atonement of Jesus for our sins on the cross when he said, "It is finished," and our responsibility to take communion when the Lord said, "Do this in remembrance of me." When we partake of the bread and wine, we receive spiritual nourishment from the Holy Spirit. And that helps to strengthen us and increase our faith. We are actually communion with the crucified Lord. Now, I said at the beginning that special occasions are often connected with food. And the passage we read in Matthew speaks of a special occasion with a memorable meal, a supper. A special meal that we're here to observe today on this World Communion Sunday should do for us what other memorable meals have done for us. It should cause us to remember some things. Jesus told his disciples to partake of this supper and do so remembering him. This meal still has significant meaning to us as Christians today. It's a meal that only Christians are to partake of. It reminds us of Christ's body as it hung on the cross, of his blood that flowed from his body as he offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice for us. In closing, I'd like to tell you a story from the book Iowa Parables by Jerry Schmallenberger. In August of 1900, more than 250 hobos, tramps, and freeloaders came by train to a little northwest Iowa town for the first annual National Hobo Convention. Now, they ate free food, they drank free beer, they stayed in free accommodations, they played games, they drew up a political platform, they even nominated a candidate for the 1900 presidential election. Now, we're speaking about a tradition that is repeated every year to this day, the annual Hobo Days in Britt, Iowa. And in case any of you are interested, next year it's August 7th through 9th. Now, the people of Britt have been inviting the hobos and the bums and the freeloaders to Britt every year, not because they deserve it, not because in some way they've earned it. They get their free food and their free drink and this special treatment because they're hobos. Nothing else. You know, all sorts of conventions happen in our country each day, but the Hobo Convention in Britt's something special. It's a little bit different. You know, they didn't deserve it or ask for it or encourage it. It's just freely given. Freely given to hobos who haven't worked, many who are lazy or crude or dirty or dishonest. They've been arrested in freight yards, chased out of the public square, rousted for vagrancy. But in Britt, for one weekend, the hobos are king. For a brief time, they're loved for who they are, fellow human beings who celebrate their humanity and its worthwhileness just for one weekend. Jesus says, "Come and eat. All is ready." Come not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it. Come because it's freely given. Yes, like it or not, my friends, we come to this supper as the hobos come to Britt. We come not deserving, but accepting. We come to this grace banquet to celebrate God's victory, not ours. We come to celebrate our humanity in Christ, whose we are, not what we've done. We're invited by God through Christ to come and eat and drink, not because we are great, but because of God's great love for us. We come though we've been lazy in our calling to follow the Lord. We're dirty with our sin. We've been dishonest with God and with each other, but He still invites us. He still accepts us at this table, just as we are. We come as forgiven people. We come as those who are nourished, renewed, refreshed because of Jesus. We come not as perfect people, but as forgiven people. Amen. Christ's love and forgiveness is present here at this supper. He assures us of that when He says, "This is my body, this is my blood given for you." This bread and this juice, it's a nonverbal sign and reminder of God's great love for us. And as we leave communion and we leave our service here in a little bit, we take inside us a reminder of God's love, God's grace, a peace of the Lord. So I want you this morning to take a deep breath. Smell the grace. Come as people who are celebrating the grace of God through the body and the blood of Christ. Come, for all is ready. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.